Welcome to the Occult London podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as other topics. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, please take a moment to leave us a review and a rating on iTunes or wherever you tune in. It really helps more folks find us and helps us to continue to get this message out there. Also, don't forget to check out occultlondon.co.uk to subscribe. And if you're feeling extra supportive, consider backing us on Patreon, or you can find us on Buy Me A Coffee. Every little bit goes a long way in keeping this show alive. And a heartfelt thanks for all your kindness and support. Now let's dive into today's episode. In this episode, we are continuing the history of magical talismans and amulets, focusing on their significance in the 20th and 21st centuries and up to the present time. In the modern period, magic has experienced a really massive transformation due to obviously the emergence of technologies like the internet and more recently, you know, artificial intelligence. And this evolving character of magic has been, you know, heavily influenced by different sources such as fantasy epics like by, you know, Tolkien, Terry Pratchett, along, you know, science fiction works like William Gibson's Neuromancer, the Wachowski brothers, the Matrix series. All of these narratives have offered a really rich history of content for the imagination and really weave together magical and futuristic worlds that encapsulate lots of different magical practices like teleportation, computerized consciousness, and really kind of bringing together the imagined and the tangible. And through these techno myths, the magical and occult realms have adapted to the constantly shifting and fluid dynamics of language, notions, and spiritual subtleties. And this has permitted the incorporation of technology into their understanding of the sacred. For example, various different neo-pagan belief structures, such as Wicca, witchcraft, ceremonial magic, have allowed practitioners to really acclimatize to the postmodern era by using technology to transcend the physical self and also delve into the innermost identities. Historically, magic was perceived as, you know, supernatural abilities that were bestowed upon the humans by the gods and spirits. However, as quantum physics theories evolve, magic has integrated these concepts to explain some of its workings. And modern magic suggests that the human mind has the power to directly influence reality, which is, you know, obviously diverging from older beliefs that magic operated much more on a sort of spirit model basis or through spiritual forces. So it's very adaptable, and it's also embraced technology, leading to, you know, new possibilities of what you can do with magic. There's also a striking similarity between magic and hacking, as both employ tools and technologies to affect environmental changes through manipulation, as the author Peter Bergerwell describes it. Magic and technology share a deeply intimate relationship to the human experience, as they are both methods that use tools to gain control over nature and ourselves. The magician and the inventor attempt to break conventional ways of working with the forces that shape our lives. Magic is indeed a kind of spiritual hacking. They are opening the machine of the universe to understand how it works and bend it towards a new purpose. And when magicians and artists use technology to explore the occult imagination, they reveal new ways of enchanting our lives. So in this spirit, many practitioners now use electronic devices to create digital talismans and sigils and harness the power of technology in innovative and magical ways. technological advancements have also greatly influenced the practice of magical techniques and teachings. The use of talismans, amulets, group rituals, meditation, and other practices has been significantly impacted by the internet and social media, and is also enabling the global sharing of information among magical practitioners and fostering a more diverse and inclusive community. Also, online stores have made it much easier for occultists to access rare materials for their practices, including talismans or materials to make magical objects and also magical tools. And we also see digital tools and equipment out there, such as apps, to really kind of enhance occult practices. And some occultists are even using virtual or augmented reality to create protective objects and talismans, or, you know, do group ritual work in things like the metaverse, etc. And these changes have not only made magic more accessible and inclusive, but also have given rise to new forms of magical practice that incorporate technology. Owen Davies, a professor of history at the University of Hertfordshire and author of Grimoires, A History of Magical Books, argues that the internet and computers do not eliminate the belief in magic, but instead they provide new engagement opportunities. He writes, "The relationship between magic and technology is entwined. When we first move from papyrus to books, that's a big technological change. It also shapes and changes the way in which magic is written and disseminated. When you get the advent of moving from carving on clay tablets to inks, that's a new technology. When you introduce inks, you can have ink of all different types, and different types can have new meanings and potencies. Then you move to the printing press again, another new technology, which once again democratizes, in the sense, the production of sigils." By integrating technology into these practices, practitioners have expanded their magical knowledge and methods in new and innovative ways that utilize the tools and traditions of the past, but also update them to the present. And this is particularly true when we consider magic and symbolism to convey information from the inner realms to the outer realms, or from our conscious mind to our unconscious mind, as we discussed with regards to Austin Osman Spare. Many parallels exist between the secretive arts of magicians and cryptographers who use symbols to transmit hidden information. And this relationship is not recent, with historical figures drawing similarities between the two practices for centuries. For example, Johannes Trithemius, who was a 15th century monk and scholar of cryptography and magic, he theorized that his cryptic techniques held the potential to command demonic entities and transmit messages from afar, similar to casting a magical spell. Equally fascinating is John Dee, who is obviously the Renaissance magician that we've discussed in previous episodes, who also uses cryptography and magic to converse with angelic beings. And he also theorized that these coded messages resembled angelic language as well. Through magical incantations and encoded messages, although they may seem different on the surface, both fundamentally rely on using symbols to relay information. And we can also see that the underlying logic behind cryptography shares a lot in common with magic, whether that is good or bad. Both practices use hidden languages or unseen agents to convey or communicate a specific meaning. And this obviously holds a lot of practical elements, particularly in the realm of talismanic magic. The concept of digital talismans for magic finds its roots in the early days of the internet. In the 1990s, for those of you who are old enough to remember that, with the rise of online communities and forums, neo-pagans began to explore the internet's potential for magical workings, and this led to the development of various online rituals and spells, and also the creation of digital talismans. A good example of this is the Chaos Sphere, which is one of the earliest instances of a symbol transforming into a digital talisman. The Chaos Sphere is a digital talisman or symbol that was first introduced in the early 2000s by Peter Carroll, who is the founder of Chaos Magic, and it's been used and adopted by many magicians over the years since then. Basically, the Chaos Sphere is a three-dimensional sphere with arrows or spikes pointing outwards in all directions, symbolizing the concept of chaos and unpredictability. And this symbol reflects the belief in chaos magic that relativity is subjective and can be manipulated through symbolic systems and personal belief, representing the chaotic and unpredictable nature of reality and the potential of the individual's willpower to shape it. According to Carroll in his book Liber Null, the Chaos Sphere is the prime radiant or magic lamp of the adept, a psychic singularity which emitteth the brilliant darkness. It is a purposely created crack in the fabric of reality through which the stuff of chaos enters our dimension. Alternatively, it may be considered a demonstration of the axiom that belief has the power to structure reality. Also, Flatter Neon Faust, in his essay on the practical applications of the Chaos Sphere, describes it as follows. The Chaos Sphere is a symbol of the primeval Big Bang. It may be considered as a frozen explosion or even as frozen information. Regard the Chaos Sphere in a relaxed state, using the 180-degree stare if you prefer. After a while, shut your eyes and meditate on the creative powers of chaos. Chaos is not disorder, let alone entropy, but rather the sum total of all possibilities incumbent in existence and the unmanifest as a whole. As we can see, these two quotes, you know, discuss the Chaos Sphere as being this powerful symbol. It also has a lot of different practical applications in magic, so different magicians have used it as a meditation focus to connect with the universe's primal energies. It's also been used to create personalized sigils and to charge them. And it's also been used in different rituals and also with regards to talismanic magic to bring about change and transformation. And it's been used by magicians successfully for many years. For example, Grant Morrison mentions it in his comic book series, The Invisibles, as a representation of chaos magic and the power of the imagination. And I'd highly recommend checking out some of Grant Morrison's work if people are interested. Another example of the neo-pagan community using technology as part of their magical practice is the Sigil Engine. And this is a digital platform that enables users to craft personalized sigils for magical workings. Users input their intent and the engine shapes a symbol around it. The Sigil Engine uses a method similar to Austin Osman's Spares technique, where it crafts a unique symbol from the user's intention, much like Spare would transform a statement of intent into a singular abstract symbol or sigil. Dara Mason, who is one of the co-creators, describes the sigil as acting like a prayer or a moment of reverence to the goddess Babylon, who is an important figure in the Thelemic system, first introduced by British occultist Aleister Crowley. The engine considers the user's typing speed and also the pauses between keystrokes to guarantee uniqueness, and it also cross-references these with Liber Chet Vel Valum Abiegni, which is a Thelemic text that's encoded into the system. Mason discussed the goals of the Sigil Engine with Vice magazine in an interview, saying, "We wanted to create something that actually felt magical when you used it. We wanted to have the process of creating a sigil to be experiential, something that drew you in and gave it a sense of wonder." Since its launch in late 2020, the Sigil Engine has clocked over 300,000 users across 7 different continents, and many people vouch for its efficacy with lots of different success stories ranging from, you know, fertility to, you know, home renovations, etc. And I've actually used it myself for various different talismans, and it's worked really, really well. So I would recommend it. Although it's initially conceived as a kind of almost like patisserie art project, it has, you know, since morphed into a tool that kind of really helps us to understand the viability of magic in the digital context. As well as the Sigil Engine, The neo-pagan community has also spawned various different digital talismans and tools over the years. So there's lots of different apps for rituals, virtual reality experiences for enhanced, you know, remote magical workings, and other options. And Patricia Telesco and Serona Knight propose harnessing everyday household items such as cell phones and microwaves for magical purposes. Similarly, other practitioners underscore the, you know, possibility of using everyday appliances in occult practices as well. And as we transition into the digital age, this kind of confluence of ancient practices and modern is emerging and turning into a kind of techno-paganism or a cyber-paganism, which represents a kind of blend of traditional pagan spiritual practices with the cutting-edge technologies of our time. And in this new spiritual landscape, machines are not merely seen as utilitarian objects or sources of amusement, but as conduits of power, of magic, that magnify and refine the practitioner's power. And at the heart of this phenomenon lies the assertion, as made by Phil Hine, the prominent author and chaos magician, that the computer is not just a means of accessing and sharing information, it is a powerful tool for manifesting changes in the world. With the rise of artificial intelligence and other technologies, a new era of pagan practices is unfolding. And in this realm, technologies like computers can become vessels of intention, serving the same function as a wand, a crystal, or a talisman in traditional pagan rituals. To appreciate the rise of AI in relation to techno-paganism, it's critical to acknowledge AI's role in transforming how we interact with and perceive our world. AI, with its ability to process, analyse, and learn from vast amounts of data, can significantly augment human abilities and also enable us to uncover insights and possibilities that were previously unfathomable. And this advancement presents profound implications for techno-pagan practices. AI systems like neural networks can be programmed with intention, similar to how a spell is cast in traditional pagan practices. And these AI systems can then use that intention to shape their learning and outcomes, mirroring the concept of manifesting reality through will and intention. The emergence of virtual worlds and online communities also signifies this progression from, you know, traditional pagan practices to techno-paganism. And these digital spaces, things like metaverse, etc., powered by AI, can also allow for new forms of communal rituals and celebrations. So, for example, lots of different, particularly during the lockdown period, a lot of magical groups started meeting online, you know, from different countries, and some still continue to do that. And it works very, very effectively, because whereas previously, if you were joining like a magical group or something, you need to live close to a lodge or whatever. Now there are opportunities to participate in group rituals through an online space. And yes, you are more limited in terms of what you can do, and there will be certainly a reduction to a certain extent in terms of, I think, the impact of a ritual on an individual when you're doing it, you know, on your own through Zoom with a lot of other people who are on Zoom. It's certainly better than, you know, not doing anything at all. So it has enabled people to connect and perform spiritual work that would never normally have been able to do that in the past. So, you know, really great things like that have developed. So in conclusion, merging the mystical and the mechanical or technological seems inevitable as we move deeper into the digital age. And through the rise of AI and other technologies, traditional pagan practices are evolving into techno-paganism. And technology can be seen as a powerful tool for amplifying and focusing human intent in this modern practice. As Lisa McSherry wrote, "Cyberspace is a technological doorway to the astral plane. Once we enter cyberspace, we are no longer in the physical plane. We literally stand in a place between the worlds, one with heightened potential to be as sacred as any circle cast upon the ground." That's all we have time for in this episode, and this is actually the end of the series on magical talismans, so I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I'd like to finish this episode with a section of a poem by Sylvia Plath titled Ouija. It is a chilly god, a god of shades, rises to the glass from his black fathoms. At the window, those unborn, whose undone, assemble with the frail paleness of moths, an envious phosphorescence in their wings. Vermilions, bronze, colours of the sun, in the coal fire will not wholly console them. Imagine their deep hunger, deep as the dark, for the blood heats that would ruddle or reclaim. The glass mouth sucks blood heat from my forefinger, the old god dribbles in return his words. The old god too writes laureate poetry, in tarnished modes maundering among the wastes, fair chronicler of every foul declension, age and ages of prose have uncoiled. His talking whirlwind abated his excessive temper, when words like locust drummed the darkening air, and left the cobs to rattle bit and clean, skies once wearing a blue divine halter, ravel above us mistily descend, thickening with motes to a chamarage with the mire. He hymns the rotten queen with saffron hair, who has saltier aphrodisiacs than virgin's tears. That bawdy queen of death, her wormy couriers are at his bones. Still he hymns juice of her, hot nectarine. I see him horny skinned and tough, construe. What flinty pebbles the ploughbade upturns, as ponderable tokens of her love, he godly dodderingly spells. No succinct Gabriel from the letters here, but floridly his amorous nostalgias.